You're listening to DraftKings Network.
We were so close to having a great football patch of real estate. We haven't had a good football patch of real estate. The Dolphins, Neuter, the MVP of the league, a surprise and a week full of surprises. And then all you needed was Miami to not collapse at Florida State for the weekend to feel good, to start looking at the Dolphins schedule and saying the next month is kind of an easy schedule.
7-7. It's a possibility, Dan. They have impressive wins. Mm-hmm.
2 weeks after Chris Cody just stopped watching, gave up on the season, didn't watch on a Sunday. This is what that magical league does. But we got to start with UMFSU. Mark Jones, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he showed on the FSU campus boiling intensities rarely seen between a 3-6 team and a 5-4 team. A bed sheet hanging on a dorm that had the U upside down, infuriating Mike. Red Pitbull sucks, infuriating Billy, and then FCK 305, because I'm guessing they've got rules about curse words on campus and you can't put that there. But that was as close as it's felt in a while, Mike, because FSU stinks and Miami has won a few games in a row to something that could have felt good over a month of feel good with the UM program, and you lose in a catastrophic way, 4th-14, allowing an offense that can't move the ball to eat up yardage. Mallory short of the sticks, an enormous number of stupid penalties, turnovers. You go down 17-0 and you lose to a truly terrible FSU team.
And the clock management towards the end and the decision to not go for it and pretty much end the game. You have 1 yard to end the game on the road. Coaching's hard for those viewing at home to pick up on. Not those three instances. Those three instances make Manny Diaz look like a joke in that moment where everyone's on their couch screaming at the TVs, what are you doing? This is the wrong decision.
Do you know the stat that he was using to, because he's got a good punter and their offense had been 28-3, right, since the bad start. So they felt good about what their defense was doing. But what he said, Mike, is in ACC play, they haven't allowed a touchdown in the last two possessions of the game.
Shitty stat. So you don't take the attempt at a yard, and then the very first play from scrimmage, you blitz while running man coverage and allow them to go 60 yards, which gives them the ball at a better spot than it would have been if you just had the turnover on downs. His defense in particular, which has gotten worse year over year since they were good back in 2017, makes catastrophic mistakes, keeps getting beat by the same thing.
Mike, the 4th-14, I heard his explanation. I'm like, how can that be? His explanation was, even though they practiced that because of what happened a couple of years ago at North Carolina, that his players didn't know that they had to, on that play, keep them from 14 yards. And it's like, that's not possible.
It's not possible. And say, let's just live in the world where Manny Diaz is making sense. Then whose job is it to make sure that the players know the situation?
If you recruit a great punter, you should be fired immediately. Because you're already deciding, you know what, we're going to need this person, we need the best one. So you're going into the season with a loser mentality.
Sends the wrong message.
100%. You should recruit no punter. And then see if there's someone on the soccer team that wants to come kick the ball around just in case.
I heard Mike Ryan, I was mortified by this, but I heard our beloved Zach Krantz allege, and this is an insult to the entire program and its entire history, that's their best player, that their punter is better at what he does than anyone else on the field is at what they do. And and that is a stinging indictment of your program. Your punter cannot be that statement has to be laughed out of the room.
I mean, I think it holds water. It reminds me of the exact moment I knew that Al Golden wasn't the guy. It was before the season, during spring ball, we asked him, who's really impressing you out there?
Yeah,
he's like, our punter, Pat O'Donnell, which to Al Golden's credit is still in the NFL. He did end up being good. He's like, our punter is really special.
Manny's going to be back next year, isn't he?
100%. He's going nowhere.
That's your take?
5-5. They're 5-5, and they lost.
He's gone.
Whittingham and Mike were warning you. At the way the Georgia Tech game played out, you can't keep doing dumb shit all over the place. Mallory's got to get 5 yards there, Mike, or 6 yards. He's just got to like, that's ridiculous.
That's the weirdest experience I've ever had watching a Miami FSU game, because obviously the pride in the program. I love the University of Miami. I certainly don't want the banter advantage going to FSU, because a lot of upside down U's. And the Pitbull sucks thing, I think, crossed the line.
Billy, you didn't give me any thoughts.
That's
on
disgusting. I mean, we don't have to address
deplorable.
It.
Deplorable.
Trash.
Deplorable.
Trash people.
We know everything we need to know about that school already, so that just confirmed.
Let me.
It.
Trash, what happened?
Trash person who made that. I shouldn't say that the whole city or the whole trash person.
Trashahassee. Let's go. Come after him. Like, that's, you can't put a bed sheet. You can't put on a bed sheet, Pitbull sucks.
You can't.
It's I believe that we should. It's something that you could take. I know people think we should have free speech, but not that way.
It's what happened on Saturday is why I never really entertain the Coastal, the Orange Bowl. Like, you guys would get excited, say Manny's going to stick around here. I've got 3 seasons worth of data on him being a head coach that said what happened Saturday was inevitable. And he tried to do it against Georgia Tech, and he got away with it. Hell, the wins that we got so excited about in NC State and Pitt, he tried to do it in those games too, and he just got lucky.
NC State and Pitt are so much better than FSU. So much better. FSU is the bottom of that conference. FSU is the reason I thought Notre Dame wasn't any good. Notre Dame has struggled against Virginia Tech, has struggled against, that was an overtime game against FSU, but since beating or losing to Cincinnati, they beat Wisconsin by 1,000,000 points, and their season has been resurrected. But FSU is flat bad. It's really hard to be a team that gets the kind of recruits they get and end up 3-6 in that conference.
All of this since that, I want to say the Michigan State game, because you had hopes that, okay, we ran into Alabama. You have the traditional Big Ten slow team coming down in the heat, and, you know, we have De'Ara King, and we'll figure this stuff out. Once that game unfolded the way that it did, it kind of felt like from that moment on, this was a wasted season. Not a great season to jump in and be a booster.
Billy, you say Manny's going to be back, but I think that this season could have been successful at 9-2 or 8-3. I really do think you could have lost to Alabama and Michigan State. You could have lost to both of them and still felt good about your season.
Yeah, but why haven't they gotten rid of him yet? Because they want to hold on to the recruits? Who cares?
Well, that actually falls upon Blake James, whose logic there is entirely flawed. And you might as well have him be here to run out the clock and coach these kids. But I'm with you.
But
maybe
what's the point of that? Because then you're not going to get any new recruits. How are you going to recruit someone knowing that this is a lame duck coach?
Preaching to the choir. Preaching to the choir. Look what USC did. Just announced to the world that, hey, yeah, sure, you're going to have schools negative recruiting saying, you don't know who the head coaches are going to be over there. Leave. Come to us. You don't think they're doing that right now? You don't think the other coaches know that Manny Diaz is going to be gone?
You're going to let Blake James. You're going to let Blake James make the choice on who the next coach is?
I think. Look, Blake. No. But it's not going to be Blake James's choice either, guys. This season, the story was written on this year. The only way Manny Diaz could have gotten out of it is by improbably winning the remainder of his games dating back to the NC State game. Honestly, he had a game for his job. It was against North Carolina. He lost. Practice was a disaster. But we're like, oh, they covered, as if that freaking mattered. And then they didn't make the Orange Bowl, clearly, because they lost to FSU. So bye-bye to Manny. Blake, I was more sure that Blake was gone rather than Manny. So now just package deal, bye-bye. We'll see who's next.
But Billy's saying no. Chris Cody is saying no. Blake James said a few weeks ago.
I don't think that what they're saying is based in data. I just think that they're joshing. I've been telling you.
It's based on gut, Mike. That's where it's based on.
Go ahead. All right.
Yeah.
He's done enough. I mean, Manny's done enough. In their eyes.
They're just not going to do anything.
In their eyes, not in your eyes, in Billy's eyes, in Chris's eyes, he's done enough to come back for another season.
I don't believe they believe that.
Who are they going to bring in?
What, for the next head coach?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think any of the people that they talk about are realistic.
That's what I'm saying. So what difference does it make? You're going to bring in another Manny Diaz to just do the same thing.
I like your attitude,
Billy. Job.
I like your attitude. It was just, why are we doing any of this? None of this matters. It's all pointless.
You guys saw that.
You guys just seem to have this unrealistic expectation that they're going to bring in a savior coach that's going to turn the program around. I think there's nothing to indicate that's going to happen.
I think you're projecting on me something that I haven't said this year.
I'm not saying you, the fan base in general.
Well, let's just, hypothetically, let's just speculate wildly, because you did see, right, Stugatz, that two coaches who have had an interest in South Florida before have made their programs matter in the SEC. Mike Leach, biggest comeback in school history, 25 points. He's got another quarterback, again, Will Rogers, and probably named Will Rogers, went 44 of 55 for 6 touchdowns.
Right.
To erase a 25-point Auburn lead, and then Lane Kiffin they're dominating Mississippi. They got into the conference, and their teams are fun and exciting, and Mike Leach wanted to be here.
Right.
Both of those people love South Florida.
Do you think Mike Leach would leave right now to come coach the University of Miami?
Why would he?
The answer is no.
He's in the SEC. He's making $5 million a year. Why would he leave that to come coach in the ACC?
Only because he wants to live in the Keys. He wants to be close to the Keys. Yeah, that's it. He wants to be on a bar stool in the Keys. That's the only reason.
But he
wants to be on
a bicycle in the Keys. The county fairs in Mississippi.
Yeah, Mike Leach is not an option. Mike Leach was an option back when Donald Trump wrote a letter of endorsement for him to Donna Shalala directly about 15 years ago. I think this is kind of the apex of the Mike Leach career trajectory, given, and you have to remember this, what's in his past and certain leanings. I just don't think that's going to be
certain
a fit.
Leanings.
I just don't think that that's going to be a fit for the University.
No, forgive me. I wasn't suggesting that it was. I'm laughing. I really didn't mean to suggest that it was the case for either of those
two
coaches.
Yeah, he's not a real candidate.
I'm just marveling at that Mike Leach badly wanted this job a while ago, and you wonder what he would have done at the time with those kinds of athletes. And it wasn't but a couple of weeks ago that Lane Kiffin was making fun of the Brown Lake in Mississippi because he's itchy to get out of there, too. There are appetizing jobs out there. You don't think those guys are going to stop there, do you?
I think this is a step down from the SEC, do you not?
No, but I think their next step is another job. No. I think Miami, and I'm with Billy on this. Right now, the Miami job is not better than the jobs that they have.
I think Lane Kiffin stays put because Lane Kiffin knows he's going to eventually get Coop Manning. Like, I think he knows he's Arch Manning.
You sound like someone's got their thigh on your throat.
Miami's
what do you mean? I sound great right now. I really do. I haven't had a heater in 2 days. I mean, I'm feeling fantastic.
Your fingers were yellow yesterday on the broadcast on YouTube.
Come smell my fingers. Come here. I want you to.
The tips of your fingers.
We're getting better, Dan. We're making strides.
The tips of your fingers were yellow
yesterday.
That
has nothing to do with nicotine or cigarettes.
Go ahead, smell the fingers.
The
usual is terrible.
They smell like cigarettes.
No, they don't, Mike. Now you're just lying. Listen, I have been called a liar for 20 years on this show. I'm okay with it. But I'm going to call out a liar when you're lying. And I haven't had a cigarette in 2 days, so there's no way you're smelling anything.
Smell his fingers.
I don't want to smell his fingers.
Nothing.
Look, his fingers, it's gotten cold, so his fingers, he doesn't moisturize, and his fingers are super hairy and ashy, and it looks like New York cold, ashtray cold. I don't want to, and he hasn't cut his nails in a while, so there's some talons working. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get anywhere near. I was made a little ill by the fact that you actually came in here and smelled his fingers.
Yeah, well, I'm ill because I smelt his fingers. So Nick Rolovich was Mike Leach's guy. Mike Leach is not going to happen. But the Lane Kiffin thing, I've seen that bandied about it, and I've always said, like, why do that? But I've been assured money isn't an issue with regards to the next head coach of the University of Miami.
Can I just rewind for a second with you and just ask you, in these times, because we're the woke show, people echo chamber show, and what I'm asking you is, And I know it's not possible, but if I told you, you could have Mike Leach and you're going to have to tolerate some leanings, as you call them.
Man, I'll do anything.
But 44
yeah.
of
you're
50.
You're not getting Leach at this 44, point.
I'm not saying
the
that you
that
are.
The leanings that I'm talking about is leaving a concussed player in a tool shed.
I'm doing a sports radio conversation.
Okay, sorry.
But you can get 44 of 55 and 6 touchdowns and biggest comeback in school history and climbing up the SEC as a program that matters, and you get the viral video from Saturday where the players are dancing in the locker room and he's awkwardly in the middle of it with just a shirt that reads State and he's swaying back and forth. And I'm just asking you, the audience, if I say, look, leanings, I think leanings is light, Mike.
No,
I think
it's all that it's all that comes with Mike Leach. I would take Mike Leach like in a vacuum. But
no, I'm not even saying in a vacuum. I'm saying with the leanings. I'm saying.
Oh yeah, I don't care. There are people on the staff right now with those leanings. I'll do anything to win outside of Urban Meyer, and I could even be talked into Urban Meyer.
Yes, you could.
Yeah, but on the Lane Kiffin front, he's the message boards want him thinking that it's actually realistic. And Miami can make the money work. I don't know if Lane would leave that job. He seems to have a good thing, especially if he's in the Arch Manning sweepstakes, yep. which he appears to be in. That seems to be a really good job, and he seems to be really liked and has all the job security in the world. I will say that he also had that in Tennessee, and he left for USC.
Wouldn't LSU want Lane Kiffin, perhaps? Just throwing it out there.
The LSU coaching search is going to be really interesting, especially since it looks like Mel Tucker is going to be getting an extension at Michigan State.
I loved, and I'm not kidding you, how fast this rehab has been, Stu Gatz. Lane Kiffin for a very long time. Like, he really took the rehab route the way that you take it, okay? Sarkisian is now buried at Texas. Stu Gatz, did you see? They lose to Kansas as a 31-point favorite.
Right.
You want to guess the last time? You want to guess the number of consecutive road games in the conference that Kansas has lost? You want to guess?
I'm going to say 8.
56.
What?
They have not won on the road since 2008 in the conference.
I was off.
Texas loses, but Lane Kiffin did the rehab route exactly right. Got a bowl game at FAU.
Yep.
Dominated the Blue Martini in Boca.
Mm-hmm.
Dominated it. After rehabbing with Alabama, and now I'm looking up, and he's prancing on to game day, the day of the game, because he has made that program matter. And Stu Gatz, if you get the lineage of Archie Manning and Eli Manning passing down the family grandson,
it's pretty good.
To Lane Kiffin at Mississippi, when everyone's saying that this guy is can't miss, that he is the prospect of all prospects. Now you combine Lane Kiffin's coaching with SEC athletes and that quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Why would you want to leave if you're Lane Kiffin? There's no reason to leave.
Top 10 school, why would he leave that?
But to Dan's point, he's done this, the rehab cycle, he has done it exactly right to a point where he could stay put, he could take the Miami job, he could probably take the LSU job. Like, Lane Kiffin has nailed this.
It's rehab. Yes. There were mattresses burning on the Tennessee campus. He was fired on a tarmac at USC. He was just left standing there. The Raiders ran him out with microfiche and the late Al Davis calling him a liar.
And now he's the celebrity guest picker on college game day.
It's unbelievable. He just went FAU, Blue Martini,
on game day,
Boca, and I'm going to Mississippi. And yeah, now I'm back, baby. I'm all the way back.
I don't know what the answer is for the University of Miami. I know that several boosters are at the program's throats right now. Not that that matters. Boosting is pretty much a racket. I read an Axios report that said that more than $500 million in D1 college sports was just dead money paid to fired coaches this year.
Oh, it's so offensive. SEC, it's so offensive.
The SEC alone, I think, is at $123 million in dead money. You know who pays for that? Boosters. Have you seen the TV deal that the SEC pays for? It would be like asking Browns fans to pay for the firing of Kevin Stefanski. It is just an unlimited resource, and
such
they know
great
that they
scam.
Got you.
It is a huge scam. The whole system, Stu Gatz. I mean, never before has it been more overt and obvious than the pandemic, and all of a sudden, from one day to the next, on shamateurism, okay, let's just let boosters play athlete, pay athletes. Let's just do that. And it's because they've been running this scam of the rule book from the 1900s, but the TV money very much from right. this century.
Yeah.
And they just buy Orgeron, gets millions of dollars to walk. Of course, like, you don't hear anything from Orgeron. He doesn't feel wronged. He's not shaking a fist at anybody. He's not John Gruden suing the league. He's like, yeah, whatever. I'll go millions of dollars. I'll rehab
Seems
somewhere.
Okay with
and
it.
Someone yeah. will hire me. And it's just a giant scam where not only do they have money, they've got enormous amounts of dead money. Mike, you got to find some funny things on people, how much they're being paid. You'll laugh out loud at you know, Charlie Weiss was being paid up until a couple of years ago.
Do you still maintain that Mario Cristobal would take this job?
No chance.
No. Wait a minute. Look, the only argument I can make on behalf of Miami is that Kiffin is tired of brown lakes and Mario Cristobal wants to be Cuban. The only thing, and the only arguments I can make is that it's okay. lovely to live in Miami.
Sorry.
I feel pretty confident that if Miami makes some money work, they can get Mario Cristobal.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Don Lebatard.
Chris Cody does an impression. Just be careful.
Dangerous game. This is a dangerous game.
I don't want to play this game.
No, he was saying, man, I could do such a great Kendrick.
No,
Perkins.
I don't want to play this game.
He's like, man, I can talk just
gonna,
like him.
This is who we're going to trust
Amin,
with
you
this.
Do it. Let's let Amin do it, I think.
Stugatz.
I think you could do it, Chris, because you did a great Charles Barkley. You're one for one there.
Did no Super one two. Just hear the segment we just did with Amin? We cannot be
Amin's
taking
judgment is not the
counsel
best.
From the local drunk on whether or not you should do the impersonation of a black man stumbling over his words. Like, you don't see the bad in that.
There was
Moses Moody. Moody Moses. Moses Moody.
You need that. It sounds
Chris.
Worse.
Be careful, man.
We gotta, like, we cannot do this. It's too close to the line. This is where the line is. Something legitimately funny can't be funny because we're scared our ginger's gonna do something racist by accident.
Carry the hell on, Dan.
Rachel.
Dan, the line is where we feel alive, though.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Do you want Mario Cristobal?
I'm just wondering, Mike, make the money work. Why would he leave the Pac-12 in Oregon? Not that they're so great, but he's got them in the playoff right now to come back here.
I hear you. Better facilities, obviously a better booster and Phil Knight than Miami has down here. But what I'm saying is the money is pretty equal. And so it's a quality of life thing.
Right.
Like, would he want to actually come back to Miami? It's my understanding that it's kind of a well-known deal that Mario Cristobal would like to come back. The don't believe the lies that Miami can compete financially and with facilities with the elite programs in the nation. They are top 15 across the board.
No, but it needs to be. This is the thing, okay, Stugatz, because I know that this losing this way to FSU sort of cements, oh, they're just not very well coached. Like the way they labored against Georgia Tech, they should be better than these teams, but they are not. They are very much these teams. But to me, it's not about making the rinse-repeat mistake of, oh, let's get rid of the coach, like Al Golden, like Randy Shannon. Mark Richt had a spell where he made them kind of relevant in the conference, 10-0, number one late in the season. But still, you knew that that team wasn't yet special. It was not in this realm with the dominant teams of the SEC.
They were back for a minute against Notre Dame. No, they were back.
And they played. They lost at Pitt, and that's as good as the program has felt that before that game in probably 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's not about, I don't think, man, I've watched Mario Cristobal and I told you it's just one game, the Stanford game, but the way they lost at the end would have been an apocalypse in Miami. Just that felt like FSU, where you're blowing it on 4th and 14, where you're doing your players don't know how deep they're supposed to be. You're allowing two big plays to an offense that doesn't have the capacity for big plays because you're coached poorly. And you get how many penalties did they have in that game? Was it 15?
They're 14? They're one of the more undisciplined in terms of pre-snap penalties. One of the more undisciplined teams in the nation. What's happening here is very obvious that there is no true leadership at the University of Miami. The program just always was successful because it kind of was. It had the logo, it had the branding, and it had the proximity to the recruits. Well, the country got smaller. Private jets got introduced, Zoom technologies, payments, the SEC. It's a different world now. Julio Frank does not know what to do with this football program. Hell, he barely knows what to do with the academic side because that's fallen off under his leadership. So he's brought in two of his closest confidants that actually care about football. We'll see with what hire they make in the athletic department. The athletic department is also a tire fire because Blake James, who has a fundraising background, has proven time and time again he won't make the right hires. I'm sure Jim Larrañaga is super thrilled that Manny Diaz lost that game to FSU, so we don't pay attention to the fact that he got beat down by UCF and barely squeaked out a win against Canisius.
UCF scored 90, and Stu got Mike Ryan spent the weekend badgering old man Larrañaga.
There isn't
on social media.
And there just isn't an adult in the room when it comes to the athletic department. Like, no one is leading. No one has a vision. Everyone's kind of taken the lead from
that's
the ACC.
That's not fair, Mike. Larrañaga is an adult.
Like, okay. No. That's,
he's well
very,
past yeah,
he's,
adult.
He's more than qualified to be
put
an adult.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Is Larrañaga well past adult?
14 penalties, by the way, for 105 yards against FSU.
There are just no visionaries right now with the University of Miami. They take the lead from the ACC. It has proven that they are trailing way behind when it comes to being visionary on the athletics front. And hopefully that gets corrected because they're being held accountable in ways administratively. They're being held accountable in ways that they've never. It's always fallen on the coach. It's always fallen on Shannon. It's always fallen on Golden. Even Rick, it fell on. Now everybody's looking at everybody with a microscope, and maybe some seats get hot and people get uncomfortable and desperate enough to make a big splashy hire.
But with all of those things that you just said about there being no vision, why do you have faith that they're going to get rid of Manny? Because that would indicate they're fine with what's going on right now.
Because I think they're cleaning house. Because I think there's sweeping change across the board. Now they have to nail that, and I certainly have my doubts, Billy, that they'll actually get that hire right. I have zero faith that they'll make the right decision from a leadership standpoint. But I am fully confident, as I was after the Michigan State game, as I kind of was after the Alabama game, I am very confident that sweeping change is coming to the athletic department. But all I can promise is change. I have zero history to borrow from that suggests that they'll make the right hire.
At the highest level?
I have zero. Zero
at the highest
history.
Level, though, you're convinced they'll make change. I mean, at the highest level.
I think Dr. Frank sticks around, but I think the athletic director and the head coach, as I've maintained
that's what I meant, Mike.
Throughout several victories that you thought meant something, I think the athletic director and the head football coach are gone.
You accused Billy and Chris of not having data. Do you? Is it supported by reporting? Do you have sources?
The Golden Hurricane.
Have you seen some of these quotes coming out? Have you seen who the athletic director reaches out to specifically to give thoughts on? Have you seen the athletic director who is tied to the head coach now publicly at odds with the head coach? They've cut the lawn. Snakes are starting to poke out.
Barry Jackson said like a week ago they were thinking about an extension for Manny.
No, it's... You have to consider the sources on these things. You just have to.
Barry's pretty good.
No, Barry is awesome.
Right.
Barry, I'm not calling into question, but he's hearing that from someone that wants to keep everything the same because they've had a racket going on down here for 2 decades plus. They've just had to maintain this.
Mike, you are alleging in front of everybody, you have, after this FSU loss, you are reporting
I love it.
That the grass has been cut and snakes' heads are showing. You're reporting
it's a
that.
Dangerous time. I mean,
this is a big deal when the program has reached the stage. I don't know. Is that past the panic or the fire alarm stage when we're at the stage
when the grass gets mowed and the snakes grass start to show?
I think that
it's a state of untrust, Dan.
No, but you need to.
Anything can happen.
Distrust is what we're going to go with there.
Okay, whatever.
I just don't know what untrust is.
I don't either. I mean, I just say things.
It would be the bank that you would run. It would be the name of Stu Gatz's bank, Untrust.
Deserved it.
How have we not gotten yet to the Udonis Haslam on Instagram story? Because somebody wrote at Haslam, I believe, he's literally a waste of a spot. Just turn him into an assistant or something. Goddamn. And this was Udonis's reply. Why am I a waste of spot? Do you know what I can or can't do? Do you come to practice every day? This ain't a charity case. Ask if I can play. Do your homework instead of being a sucker and hater and spreading negative. So what? I don't play. Don't mean I can't. I'm challenging this next generation to be great every day, doing shit a coach can't. So get on board or get the on with that sucker shit. I'm sorry, sucker shit. We all on the same side. Come for me. You're coming for the entire culture, which means we don't need you. Go cheer for the magic with your crab ass.
Tyler Hero's doing him no favors, trying to toss him alley-oops and having him fall out of bounds.
There's no way that guy responded, right? Like, once you sends that your way, you're done, right?
Go cheer for the magic with yo crab ass.
Do you think that's how it goes with Riley when they're like, hey, UD, maybe this is the season? Maybe we kind of transition you off the team into like more of a executive role, and
haven't they said he can do it for as long as he wants?
Well, because of that, probably.
He's got a lifetime.
UD initiates that discussion, not the other way around. I mean, that's the way I imagine it. He'll go to Riley and say, "Hey, I'm done. I don't want to play anymore."
You saw he was publicly leveraging a possible ownership stake. Yeah. UD wants to be an owner.
Really?
He has made it known. He wants what was available to Dwayne Wade that Dwayne Wade balked at.
Dwayne Wade's going to be on with us tomorrow, Stu Gatz.
I know.
Maybe you can finally...
I'm working on that statue.
Making sure that it doesn't ever happen?
Yep, but I'm going to tell him about it tomorrow.
You're going to tell him that you've been working your hand to the bone because you have said that... can you get that sound, Mike? Can you get the sound of Stu Gatz?
I'm going to be nervous telling him, Dan, claiming, but I have been working. That's why my hands were yellow, by the way.
I don't believe that you will tell him this because you love to be the guy who says things, pontificates on the air, and then when somebody comes around here and it has to be said to their face, with those yellow hands of yours, you slap them on the fanny, you give them a big smile, and you pretend like you never said any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But you did say that if he ever played, I believe, a minute, or maybe a second,
mm-hmm.
for the Cavs.
A second, I think.
Or, yes, for the Cavs, that I believe you said you would work your fingers to the bone, which is just funny thinking of you working that hard on anything,
right,
to ensure that no statue was ever put of Dwayne Wade outside of the Heat's arena.
If he goes to Cleveland and he plays 1 second of one game in a Cavs uniform, I will make sure that he never gets a statue and that jersey is never retired in the arena. I'll make sure of it.
1 second, one game. Can't wait to tell him.
That's basically what he played.
Yeah, exactly.
He was there for the Hayward ankle injury, and then that was about it.
Billy, what happened with Tyler Hero? Were you howling in your house when Tyler Hero tried to alley-oop to you?
No, I felt bad. Why did he do that to him? That's such a that's bullshit what he did. Honestly, why did he do that to him?
He did the play that called for in that moment. He was thinking his teammate.
Your teammates.
Well, most of his teammates can finish that. Udonis can't at this point.
Well, don't tell him that.
Right.
Go cheer for the Magic with Joe Crabass. Chris, did you get scared while reading that?
How could you not?
Did you get scared of Udonis's Instagram?
It made me sad. It means that this is affecting him and that he's insecure about his level of play right now. It's like, you should be above all this. Why are you responding to some guy on Instagram? Like, you're Udonis Haslam. You're the OG. Like, it just made it seem like deep down, he knows that he can't do it. Like, why else is he responding to this guy on Instagram? Careful. It seemed like very insecure.
Wow.
Chris.
I don't know that I disagree necessarily, but
I want to say it.
I'm not going to publicly agree.
This was Roy's take. He said before the show, and I'm just kind of repeating it.
I literally got hit by
boy.
I was like, Roy, that's a good take. You should say. He's like, no, I'm not saying that. I was like, fine, I'll say it.
So you say it, and you put it on Roy.
Yeah.
Just park my car and walk in here.
What was it last night on the YouTube postgame show that you put on your mom? The opinion.
That was true. My mom was scoffing at Aaron Rodgers all game yesterday. Every incompletion, she's like, serves you right. I'm like, Mom, they're winning.
Did Pete Carroll indeed throw a flip phone on the field yesterday? Is that something that happened?
Did he throw it, or did he was like reaching for the challenge flag? He just like spilled it out.
But sometimes you flip it open, Dan, and it falls out on the ground. You know what
I'm
saying?
But I think he was trying to challenge something. I don't think he was trying to flip it open and have it fall down on the ground. You know what I'm saying? Like, go ahead.
He definitely did. He definitely threw a flip phone. That's delightful.
Is it crazy, and this, I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, is it crazy that multiple teams have people coaching that, like, in other areas of society are like, should they still be driving?
Well, you see Bruce Arians after the game yesterday called them a very dumb team. You just won the championship. He called them a very dumb team.
They are. I think they lead the NFL in penalties.
They just won the championship.
In spite of being dumb. Another testament to Tom Brady's greatness.
Mike and I have said that team wasn't good until they were holding up the trophy at the end of the year.
That's how I pacified myself with the Browns loss to the Patriots. I'm like, has a Super Bowl champion ever lost that way? I'm like, oh, the Sunday night game to the Saints last year. The Bucs had a lot of weird games last year that you usually don't see an inevitable champion get.
Carroll went for the challenge flag, and he threw out the flip phone. Like, when you go into your pocket, don't you feel the difference between the challenge flag and the flip phone?
Like, you got to just have, like, one pocket for the challenge flag, I would think.
Right.
When you guys are reading stories about pins in the throwing hand, doesn't any and all analysis of Seattle being shut out yesterday have to start there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pins in the throwing hand.
Yep. Not a good thing, Dan.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is pins in the throwing hand better than Geno Smith?
But he rehabbed for 19 hours a day, Dan. So he was ready to come back.
Yeah.
He
did a lot of walkthroughs on those, you know, pregame walkthroughs. We saw those.
He's not going to be there next year, is he?
It doesn't seem that way from what everybody is saying. He was really close to forcing his way out of Seattle last year.
He named teams. There were like four teams that he was willing to go to, Chicago being one of them.
Yeah, correct? Chicago being the one that was the closest that came to fruition. Everyone seems to think that this is also Russell Wilson's last stand season.
And yesterday, in that game, he gets shut out. And Stugatz, this one is always hard to factor when it comes to that sport. We have spent half a season analyzing that sport, and now the injuries are happening all over the place.
Everywhere.
And guys are playing through, like, I've got seven of these things. Mm-hmm. I need needles all over my body. And whatever your analysis was in week 8 isn't going to be your analysis in week 15 when you're suffering as a Steeler because you've gone from a totally spent Ben Roethlisberger to a totally incompetent Mason Rudolph.
I will say that if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, and I feel pretty confident in saying that.
How can you say any?
Well, he's been healthy his entire career for the most part.
No, I mean, but how can you be confident that anybody of any age in that sport is going to be healthy? Stugat, seriously, from game to game, how can you be confident that anyone's going to be healthy?
I feel fairly confident that that guy will be healthy. I can't speak to his offensive line. I can't speak to anyone else on the team.
You can't speak to him either, Stugat.
Okay, so I'm just playing the if game, Dan. If that guy can stay healthy, that defense is good enough where I'm pretty convinced Green Bay is the best team in the NFL.
But you said that about Arizona 2 weeks ago. And you said it about Dallas the week before that.
I think I said it about the Vikings.
You said it about Minnesota the week before that.
It's a crazy season, man. And now Kansas City's rolling again. I mean.
God damn it, we had them. We had them.
Yeah, you're right.
We had them dead to rights, and Aaron had to get COVID. Damn you.
Don Lebatard.
Sports.
Stugatz.
More sports.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
What do you want, Bruce Boudreau?
I want somebody who's not going to change the philosophy of this team.
Why are you firing the coach? I mean,
the team is not playing as well.
Right.
I thought they fought for him there. If they lost in regulation against Tampa, remember, he's an interim coach.
They're 10-2.
Doesn't he have to kind of prove to you that he's capable of handling what was, prior to him taking over, a very clear and identifiable Stanley Cup favorite? And it's not sustainable, and it's not fair to hold him up to that standard. But 4 in a row, giving up 7 goals to the New Jersey Devils, The NHL is a little wacky, Roy, in that once you have a good run of form broken up, you tend to slide back for a couple of games. That it was good to see them battle back and forth and get a point, salvage a point against Tampa Bay. But I think it's reasonable to have questions over Andrew Brunette, given that he's never been in this spot before. And he took over the second greatest NHL coach ever. When you have fully made products in Torts and Boudreau out there available for a team that's supposed to be a Stanley Cup favorite, it's tempting.
I can't believe we are now the show that is doing on a Monday. How is it? Stugatz and I were saying this the other day. Our last show is going to be rocking chairs on a porch somewhere where we're doing Marino, Montana. You have come out roaring on a Monday here. You fired Manny Diaz a month ago, and now you fired Blake James as well. And now you're firing the interim coach who took over from the quietest, worst scandal that you will ever find, because it's about hockey, Stugatz. A terrible scandal ends up with a legendary hockey coach being rightly ousted from the best team in the league, and now they've done nothing but lose since then.
But my apologies to Mike, because he's right. Like, I went after him on the front end of this argument, but when you consider that the Florida Panthers head coach has very little to no experience and he's taking over for Coach Q, and this is a team that could win the Stanley Cup.
You're telling me Torts can be here?
Torts could be here, and Mike is exactly right. Roy, you might have to consider a good head coach.
Roy, are you telling me that we might become the United States of Tortorella?
No. I don't believe they should sign Tortorella, because I don't want this team philosophy to change. Like,
well, it has changed a little bit, Roy. He seems to play Hubie and Barkov together more. Like, he kept Coach Q kept them on different lines, and Burnett seems to be using them together on one line. I don't know, like, if that's a good strategy.
But Torch would also be mostly defense, right? All of a sudden, you become like one of these. Isn't he considered a defensive coach?
Yes, he is. And this team is very good attacking in transition on offense. Not necessarily on defense, as Tortorella's philosophy is.
Yeah, but Columbus was, when he was at Columbus, had an impenetrable defense, and Bobrovsky was his goaltender, you have to remember. And I understand that our team's kind of built for more attacking defensemen, but you're not winning shit when you give up 7 goals in the Jersey Devils of all teams.
I can't believe we're this show now. Where'd the show
I'm
that
not
fires
him,
an interim? You fired an interim.
No, like you fired
it sounds like you fired him.
No,
you said towards me.
You said towards me. We all heard you, Mike. We all heard you. You said towards me. I didn't even know what it meant, but you said towards me. What does that mean?
Like Boudreaux, too. Like, I have my questions about Andrew Brunette. How can I not? Well, I've never seen him do it.
The one thing that made Joel Quenneville one of the most elite coaches in NHL history is his in-game adjustments. He's able to change lines within the game. He's able to juggle ice time very well. And Andrew Brunette, being the rookie that he is, he hasn't learned that yet. Now, he's sort of figured it out. He put Barkov and Huberdeau in the previous game, and they ended up scoring a goal, two goals in 36 seconds.
Ah, adjustment, says Chris
It's
Cody.
An important part of coaching, Dan. Perhaps the most
Thank
important
you,
part of coaching.
In-game adjustments
on
you.
The fly, the
Thank
ability
you,
to see it, the
Thank
ability
you.
To juggling yes. ice time, yes. all of it, Dan.
Thank
you know,
you.
Identifying mismatches.
Yes.
It's what I was great at as a women's lacrosse coach. It was actually by strength.
How did you make this about you?
You juggle lots of ice time as a lacrosse coach.
Well, no, but I recognize matchups. I would get someone to play defense if they had too many good attackmen. Someone who doesn't normally play defense, a good athlete. Hey, I need you to cover her, make her go away.
How did you
need to recognize that early, and that's what Coach Q was great at. I'm not certain about this. This interim guy. I have no idea if he's good enough to do that. You either have that skill or you don't have it, Dan. It's not an acquired thing. You know what I'm saying?
Your chin is slowly connecting to the base of your neck.
I don't know how you made that segment about you, and your lacrosse coaching, and you waved your fingers, your yellow fingers, so much at everybody.
I'm the only coach in here. I mean,
yes, and you are a great coach by all reports in lacrosse. It's not what we were talking about.
I'm talking about adjustments. I mean, I was just pointing out that I've made adjustments in my career.
You're pointing out with fingers that are yellow.
Yep.
That's how you're pointing things out.
Working on not getting that statue put up for Dwayne Wade.
You're just simply
to the bone.
You're devolving into a gland. Yes. A gland that gives ill-informed hockey takes.
Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show, Guillermo, please. Is Stugatz devolving into a gland that gives ill-informed hockey takes?
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.